Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
When God sent his Old Testament people into exile, why was the temple destroyed? Why was it important that the temple was destroyed? And why was it important later when those people returned from exile, according to God's promise, that the temple would be rebuilt? How was it rebuilt, and what happened when, well, for instance, the book of the law is recovered and Ezra reads this book for the people for the first time in several generations? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker about rebuilding the temple. Pastor Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What happened to the temple in Jerusalem when God's people were sent off into exile?
We may remember that the 10 northern tribes were sent into exile by Samaria, and then not much longer after that, the people of Judah, the southern kingdoms, they rebelled against the Lord also. And if you really want to know what happened, you just go to the book before Ezra, which is 2 Chronicles. And it talks about how they, after Josiah, a wonderful king, died in battle, then they put in charge another king, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. And verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 36 says, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." He was warning them about what could happen even to the temple. "But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, and there was no remedy." And at the end of 2 Chronicles, it talks about Jerusalem being captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and he killed the young man with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, that is the temple. He had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And he burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. It was then he took the exile in Babylon, those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him in Babylon, until his sons and the establishment of the kingdom of Persia. And that's where things get interesting against the king of Babylon.
So why had God allowed his house to be destroyed?
He allowed his house to be destroyed because it was being misused. In Jeremiah, and Jesus quotes Jeremiah, "My house of prayer, you have made a den of," and a lot of people say robbers, but it really is the word used for the two thieves on the cross with Jesus. "You have made my house a den of malefactors, murderers." And what was going on there, they were selling all kinds of sacrifices in order to make themselves rich and to try and get into heaven by means of their sacrifices. And they were also, as it says very clearly in Jeremiah 7, that they were first of all, misusing the widows and the orphans and strangers. That's why the parable Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan was so important, because even the Samaritans should have been their neighbors, which they were not. So God had left the temple. It said that the Spirit went up onto the mountain, and therefore God was no longer in the temple. This is really important for the Sunday school teachers to understand, because that's precisely what happened at the time of Jesus. If you recall, when he was on the cross, the curtain of the temple tore in two. And that was the curtain that divided the Holy of Holies from the people. And I read a lot of individuals, theologians, who think that that means now we are able to enter into the Holy of Holies. No, it's the same thing that happened under Babylon. God left the temple, and therefore, what the tearing of the curtain did is that God now enters into you at your baptism, for example, where his dwelling place is now your body. So a similar thing happened at the time of the crucifixion that had happened at the temple with the Babylonian captivity, and the temple God allowed to be destroyed because his presence was no longer within it, as it is no longer in the temple of Israel even today.
Why had the temple been so important?
The temple was so important because this is where the third commandment comes about. Very, very important. You would think, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that Martin Luther would have said something about resting, because isn't that what the third commandment is all about, resting on the seventh day? But that was actually part of the ceremonial laws, which we are no longer under their jurisdiction, and they were removed. In fact, as Luther says it so well, we should fear and love God, not that we don't work on the Sabbath, but that we do not despise preaching and his word. I often make the point that the commandments restore to us what was lost by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They, first of all, lost God. They weren't able to talk to him or walk with him in the cool of the day. They were removed from the Garden of Eden. They couldn't pray to God because, well, he wasn't there and there was no name they knew. And they couldn't hear from God. So what God did in the Ten Commandments, the first three, he restored himself to them. Remember, as Exodus says, I am the Lord your God. They didn't do anything to make him the Lord. He did it. And the reason he says, I'm the Lord your God, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And today we can teach the Sunday school children that he is the Lord your God because he died for you on the cross and took you out of the land of Satan. Then the second commandment gives us God's name that we are to use properly. So now we're able to call upon God in worship. And the third commandment, really important, God now speaks to us. A worship service is not the time when we do many good works to God, as though our works of baptism and the Lord's Supper is something that we are doing. No, it's just the very opposite, that in hearing the word of God, in the Old Testament reading, the epistle, the gospel, God speaks to us. And therefore, we listen to him in the sermon, because a proper sermon is simply saying to the people what is important for them to understand about the text. In fact, we're going to get into that in a little bit. When the law is read by Ezra, the people do not understand it. And the Levites are the ones who help them to understand what the law is being said. So up to this point, they're in Babylon captivity for a while, until God provides a way of escape by the Persian king, Cyrus. And he really wanted the love of the various nationalities around him in his empire. And so he says to the people who are in Babylonian captivity, the Jews, that they can return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And that's also found, the Sunday school teachers need to know this, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22. It says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah would be fulfilled. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing. What did he say? The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Therefore, whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. And so in Ezra chapters 1 and 2, we have the exiled people returning home to Jerusalem. And in chapter 3, they begin by rebuilding the temple, with the primary item is a rebuilding of the altar.
So that's kind of the political reason why the temple was rebuilt, because Cyrus said, I'm going to do it when I return these people. Why theologically did the temple have to be rebuilt?
It was to be rebuilt, and that's answered in verse 2 of Ezra 3. It says that they rebuilt the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And so this was from the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they built the altar, for fear was on them because of the people of the lands. They were enemies of the Jews, and therefore they offered burnt offerings to the Lord morning and evening. And for a long time, they did that. And they had received quite a bit of money from Cyrus, because he had been instructed by the Lord to help them rebuild his house. And the foundation of the temple was not yet laid, so they took the money from Cyrus, gave to the masons and the carpenters, gave them food and drink and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians. Why? To bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the grant that they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. So there's Cyrus being used by God in order to rebuild the temple so that proper worship can be done, which was really difficult to do when they were exiled in Babylon.
Describe, if you would, the rebuilding of the temple there in Ezra chapter 3.
Yes. It was in the second year after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem that they began together with the rest of the various individuals, the priests and the Levites, and they appointed the Levites, and that was one of the tribes, from 20 years old and upward to supervise the work of the house of the Lord. And there were individuals who were leading them to do that, namely Yeshua and Kadmiel, the sons of Judah. They supervised the workmen in the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the Levites and their sons and their brothers. And therefore they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. And when that was done, in verses 10 and following of chapter 3, it talks about the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals to praise the Lord. And they did it according to the direction of David, king of Israel. And just as we have liturgical parts in our worship, singing praises to God, they were singing this over and over again, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel." And all the people were shouting with a great shout as they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Tuesday, June the 8th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the rebuilding of the temple in Ezra and Nehemiah. He mentioned the book of the law being read a little bit earlier. What was that book, and what happens when Ezra reads it? Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Sent to Serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, has a heading in one of the chapters, "Don't just speak about the gospel, speak the gospel." Speaking about the gospel is telling a person something that is wonderful and true, but not making it clear that it is for her. For example, telling someone that Jesus died on the cross to take away sins is true, but it may leave her wondering if his death on the cross took her sins away. Just a little bit from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House and order the book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the rebuilding of the temple in Ezra and Nehemiah. So you mentioned this a moment ago, but what was this book of the law that they found?
Yes, the book of the law was the books from Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so that's what Ezra was going to read. I did want to make one other point before we move to his reading, is that when the foundation of the temple was being laid, there was a great shout on the part of the people. But those who were young were shouting for joy because this was a foundation and they couldn't remember the old foundation. But the old men who had seen the first temple, they wept with a loud voice so that the people could not distinguish between the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping, and for the people who shouted with a great shout, and that was heard far away. It kind of reminds me of, there was a church in St. Charles, Missouri, Emmanuel, and its ceiling had kind of come apart and made destruction down below, and it's been rebuilt. But I'm sure that when that rebuild had been finished, there were people weeping for the way the church had once been, and those who were shouting for joy because of the beautiful way in which it was reconstituted. So that's something that happens in many of our lives. At a funeral, we can be weeping and at the same time have joy because of the love that God has given us and the promise of our loved ones being in heaven. But going on to Ezra, that he took the book of Moses, the law of Moses, that the Lord had commanded Israel. That's in chapter 8, verse 1. So he went before the assemblies, and he read it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning and until midday. So 6 hours he was talking to the people, those who could understand. Now you wonder, what do you mean those who could understand? Well, number one, God's people no longer spoke Hebrew. So Ezra had to translate the Hebrew, had to translate scripture for them. But even more importantly, it says this in verse 7, the Levites helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. I really enjoy that verse because that's the task of every pastor. Reading from the Bible, even the English, you can miss so much because the people don't know the original languages of the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek. And so in every one of my sermons, I tell them something that they were unaware of. A lot of times, just from the English, that often doesn't make the clear point. Last week's sermon, for example, I showed them that the word Lord in the English was spelled differently. One time, it was just regular letters. Another time it was capitalized letters, which is the name of God. That's the way some of the English translators put that, Yahweh. And so you need to explain to the people, and every week they should walk away from the sermon saying two things. Number one, I never heard that before. And number two, that was a real comfort to me. Because that's the point that the Levites were doing. At first, the people were weeping when they heard the law. And you can understand that because the law's purpose is to SOS, show our sin. And the more you hear the law, the more you feel unworthy to be in the presence of God. So what did the Levites do? They said to the people that this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And that's what a proper teaching of the law can really do, as we hear what the will of God is for our lives, and we rejoice that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do the will of God a number of times. And when we are unable to do it and we sin, we know that God forgives our sins because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. A wonderful example for Sunday school teachers in getting across to their students the main meaning of why the sanctuary was rebuilt.
In Nehemiah 12, it briefly describes the resupplying of the temple storehouses and the workers there. Why was that so important?
Well, that was important because you just can't leave a church and leave it alone. That specifically is verses 44 to 47 of Nehemiah 12. And what it says, that men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them the portions required by the law. For whom? For the priests, for their Levites, according to the fields of the towns. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. I don't know of a congregation that doesn't have a board of finance and a board of elders. What is their task? Their task, along with the pastor, is to make sure that contributions that are received are shared appropriately to help with the living of the pastors and maybe the associates, the school teachers, whatever you have there, as well as an upkeep of the building, because buildings just don't stay there. They start, well, the roof has to be replaced, some painting needs to be done, etc. And they performed their service, verse 45, and their service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. Well, we have choirs. We have instrumentalists that sometimes help us to sing the songs, because there were directors of the singers, there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, and we're reading from Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 47, gave the daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers, and they set apart that which was for the Levites. And the Levites set apart that which for the sons of Aaron, who were really helping to keep the worship setting appropriate so that they could hear God speaking to them and particularly telling them that their sins were forgiven.
Finally then, Tom, how is this temple, how does it find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ?
When Jesus says, destroy this temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. They laughed at him because it had taken decades for Herod to repair the temple in his day. They thought he was talking about the man-made structure. He was not. He was talking about himself. He is the temple of God. As we indicated earlier, the curtain of the temple tore in two, which meant that God left that temple, and in Jesus Christ at your baptism, he is with you. You are part of the body of Christ. In fact, in last week's sermon, we found out that you are also the children of God, because when Mary and his brothers are telling him to keep quiet, he says, who are really my children, my brothers and sisters and mother, are those who hear the word of God. And that's what the Sunday school children are doing as they listen attentively to teachers who are kind of like Levites in explaining to them the clear passages of Holy Scripture.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss what I wish my non-Lutheran family members knew about the Holy Spirit. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll talk with Dr. Stephen Parks about Roman Catholic Mariology, and we'll continue our Proverbs series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a four-bedroom, three-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.